From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. For more information, resources, or to donate to CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and as always, good to be with you as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered live when you dial 888-ASK. Hank, that translates to 888-275-4265, our contact information, then write to our callers on the web, equip.org, via the mailbox 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And then again, resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000, and the letter is CRI. Let's go right to the phone callers. First up is Kathy. She's listening in Memphis, Tennessee on WCRV. Hi, Kathy.
Hey, Hank. I'm so excited to talk to you. I've had this question for a good long time. It's about ministers. There's a lot of ministers that the Lord gives me discernment that they're just not right, you know, that they're off somewhere else. But there's several that my spirit says there's something wrong, but at the same time, there may be something right. One in particular is Joel Osteen. And somewhere in the Bible, in the New Testament, one of the apostles asked Jesus something, and Jesus remarks, if they're preaching in my name, then leave them, you know, let them continue. And I was wondering what you thought about ministers that may not be like Charles Stanley or somebody like that, that you know for sure, know the word clearly. I was wondering what you thought about that.
Yeah, I think in general my answer would be an essentials unity, non-essentials liberty, and all things charity, which is to say that preaching in the name of Jesus entails having the right Jesus. So Mormons preach in the name of Jesus, but if you ask them who Jesus Christ is, they will say that Jesus Christ is the elder brother of Lucifer, that Jesus Christ himself is a spiritual descendant, as it were, a progeny, another word would be, of Father God and Mother God. And if you ask a Jehovah's Witness who Jesus Christ is, they would say, well, he's the Archangel Michael, and he was a mere human being during his earthly sojourn. Or if you ask a New Ager, they would say Jesus Christ is an avatar or he's a messenger. So the issue is not preaching in the name of Jesus Christ. The question is, who do you say that I am? A question directly and explicitly asked by Jesus Christ himself. Who do you say that I am? And of course, Peter answered the question correctly. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Secondly, I think it's really important to recognize authority, which is to say that the authority is never the preacher. The authority is the Word of God. And therefore, we ought to test the preacher in light of Scripture, hold fast that which is good. Joel Osteen uses the Bible as his authority, but he twists the text over and over again to teach his odd predilection about the notion that faith is a force, words are the containers of the force, and through the force of faith, you create your own reality. Kind of like a battery. It's got a positive pole, it's got a negative pole. If you speak words of faith, you get positive things. You speak words of fear, you get negative things. So your words create your reality. Well, words do impact things, and they're important, make no mistake, but they don't create reality. I'll give you an example of Scripture twisting. The Scripture tells us, says Joel Osteen, that we are to call the things that are not as if they already were. Now, the average person hearing Joel Osteen say that, if they're not biblically literate, would say, wow, he is quoting the Bible, and so I should follow that formula. But as Joel Osteen must surely know, Scripture says nothing whatsoever of the sort. The very passage that he references communicates that it is the God who gives life and not we who calls things that are not as though they were. So it's a subtle twist, but that subtle twist turns the meaning of the text around 180 degrees. So it's very important that you know what Jesus they're preaching about, what faith they're preaching about, and how they're using the authority of Scripture, or in the case of Joel Osteen, consistently abusing the Scripture. Here's an example.
The angel went on to say, but Zechariah, because you didn't believe, because you questioned God, you shall remain silent and not be able to speak until the baby is born. Well, why did God shut his mouth? Why did God take away his speech? It's because God knew that Zechariah's negative words would cancel out his plan. He knew Zechariah would go out and start talking to his friends. Well, they said we're going to have a baby, but they must have gotten the wrong person, man. We're way too old. See, God knows the power of our words. He knows we prophesy our future. And he knew Zechariah's own negative words would stop his plan.
That is so bizarre, by the way, that I'm not even going to take the time to refute it. If you want a complete refutation on that, I give it in Christianity in Crisis, but hopefully people listening right now would have enough discernment to see that this is a classic case of Joel Osteen just twisting the Scripture. And this has created a modern crisis in Christianity. I actually write about this in my book, Christianity in Crisis, because prosperity preachers, whether Joel Osteen or Joyce Meyer, are communicating that what happens in your life is a direct function of the words that you are speaking. So if you're healthy and you're prosperous, words create that reality. But if your baby dies or your spouse, God forbid, contracts cancer, you are then the prime suspect. And according to Joel Osteen, the moment you speak something out, you give birth to it. And again, he said this is a spiritual principle and it works whether what you're saying is good or bad, positive or negative. I point out in Christianity in Crisis that his words are eerily similar to those of New Thought practitioner Joe Vitale, who was a contributor to Rhonda Byrne's The Secret. And when asked by Larry King, when Larry King was doing the broadcast on CNN, whether a 9-year-old Florida girl who was brutally murdered attracted the horror to herself, Vitale responded, "We are attracting everything to ourselves. There is no exception." Again, this is a horrifying philosophy, whether you find it in New Thought metaphysics or repackaged for Christian consumption. And the only reason the Joel Osteens of the world get away with it is because we are those today in the modern epoch who lack discernment skills. Why do we lack them? Because we don't know the Word of God. And we're told to test all things in light of Scripture, hold fast to that which is good.
Well, I've just been real fortunate that the Lord has given me the spirit of discernment on most of these ministers, and I really appreciate him doing that for me because I'm not that literate. You know, I read the Bible and I study it, but I do have the discernment. But I was confused about Joel Osteen, but you've made it real clear now that I was right in my, thinking that he wasn't on the right track.
Very, very good. But let me say this. Don't test just your feelings. Test all things, and that's the reason that you asked the question. Test all things in light of Scripture. Hold fast to the good. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Debbie, St. Peter's, Missouri, listening on KSIV. Hi, Debbie.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
I have a confusing question that is over the years growing up in high school where we were taught certain things about Darwin and his theories and And I was a Christian at a young age, and I thought, well, this is just malarkey, you know, and I still think it is today. But I read an article at the beginning of the week by Carl Zimmer. He wrote it in the New York Times about a 4,000-year-old fossils of extinct human lineage called the Denisovans that were in Spain. And I'm thinking, but how can this be? How can this be, you know, when the book of Genesis just completely just says, no, it's not true. And I have been praying and praying because I'm thinking, I am so confused right now that I'm not getting any sleep over this. And so in my prayers, I think of you as a Solomon of our day and age, and that you know everything. And in my prayers, God, and I talked to God too, the Lord Jesus, and he said, ask Hank Hanegraaff. So that's why I'm calling you, because I need some clarification on this.
Well, let me say, first of all, I don't know everything. In fact, in the whole scope of the things that could be known, I know very little. And I think all of us should recognize that if you drew a great big circle and you were to ask me to shade in the part of the circle that I have in terms of knowledge, I would hardly dare put a pinprick there. So I know very little in the scope of what could be known. And I think we all should recognize that. But there are certain things that we can know. First of all, that Genesis makes it very clear that kinds reproduce after their own kinds. And what Genesis is communicating is also communicated in the book of nature, which is to say that if you look at the book of nature, you find that very thing. You don't find transitions from one species to another. So you don't find transitions from hominids to humans, but you find variations within kinds. So a Christian can believe in microevolution, but never macroevolution, because both science and scripture utterly demolish the notion of macroevolution. And the writers of the article that you reference are making a big mistake in communication, because they flow fluidly between hominids and humans as though they are one and the same. They're not. And nor did humans evolve from hominids. There's simply no evidence for that in the fossil record. Again, there are myriad evidences for microevolution, but not for macroevolution. Kinds do not change into other kinds. Dogs don't become cats or vice versa. Not only that, but if you look at what you find in the fossil record, you find that the Cambrian explosion has exploded Darwin's tree of life. It is, in essence, biology's Big Bang. It has utterly demolished the notion that Darwin postulated. It has proven it false, and that is just plain old scientific, unvarnished fact. The fact that people lockstep are marching to the tune of a different drummer doesn't make it true. Darwinism simply cannot stand in an age of scientific enlightenment unless it's force-fed to people. And I actually write about this in a book that would be very helpful to you. It's called The Creation Answer Book. I answer all of these questions and many, many more.
Okay, that would help. That would help me out a lot. I just don't understand that. I mean, the Earth is not that old, yet they're saying they've got 400,000-year-old fossils.
Well, but that's a different question. I mean, the issue of the age of the Earth is never settled in the book of Genesis. Genesis doesn't give us a chronology of creation. What it gives us is a hierarchy of creation culminating in the crowning jewels of God's creation, humankind. So the idea given in Genesis is not for chronology, but chirology, which is it is expressing God's purposes in creation. If you want to answer the age question, then you have to look at general revelation. And of course, general revelation is codified in Scripture as that which proclaims the glory of God. The heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they proclaim knowledge. There's no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their words go out to the ends of the earth. So again, if you look at God's created handiwork, the sun, moon, and stars, you know that there's a creator. What does the philosophical naturalist or the evolutionist have to say? They have to say, well, nothing creates everything. That's illogical. They have to say life comes from non-life. Again, illogical. Then they have to say that the life that came from non-life produced morals. Again, this is a lot to swallow in an age of scientific enlightenment, and that's why I unmask the deception of the evolutionary paradigm. But again, don't get caught up in thinking that Genesis is forcing us into age categories. It simply is not. What it does force us to believe is that Adam's sin accounts for all evil, that which precedes it, just like that which follows it, just as the atonement of Jesus Christ on the cross atones for all evil, that which precedes it, just like that which follows it, which is to say, another way of saying that Abraham was saved the same way that you and I are saved. The cross stands on the fulcrum of history. Going to leave it at that. Again, the Creation Answer Book, you can find it on the World Wide Web at equip.org. We'll be right back with more answers to your questions in just a few moments, so please don't touch that dial.
As we wind up this year, a funding gap remains that must be closed by year end if we're to continue bringing a biblical perspective to the issues of our day. CRI has no major funding source and relies on the generous support of Christians like you committed to standing for the truth. That's why your help right now is vital. So please help close our year-end funding gap today, as it's the last week to give your gift. Visit equip.org. Equip.org. That's equip.org. Stay with us. There's more from Hank Hanegraaff coming up next. With 2013 quickly winding down, the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast is calling on listeners like you to help close a funding gap by the end of the year. Closing this gap by December 31st is vital if we're to continue being here for the hundreds of thousands of listeners just like you who tune in each month, seeking to be equipped with the clear direction of God's truth. With your gift today, you'll be saying you believe in this ministry, helping those who are being led astray by false teaching. Your support is absolutely vital if we are to end 2013 having closed this gap and ready for the new year. So please call 888-7000-CRI with whatever gift God lays on your heart. That's 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI. Thank you so much for your support. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go, on your phone or handheld device, with the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-Minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices. The last few weeks of 2013 are critical for the Christian Research Institute, as we must close a funding gap by December 31st to end this year having fully met our obligations, ready and able to move into 2014. If we are to continue contending for the faith and equipping Christians across America, it is vital we close this gap. That's why we're asking for your help today to close this gap so we can continue working at full strength to equip Christians like you on the issues of our day and counter the lies emanating from our culture. So please call right now, 888-7000-CRI, to give your gift.
888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Your help ensures we can continue being there for the hundreds of thousands of people like you who tune in each month. Thank you. Throughout the month of December, we've been sharing with you how important it is for us to close the final funding gap so we can continue bringing a biblical perspective to the issues of our day in the new year and counter the lies emanating from our culture. This is the last week you can give your gift to close our year-end funding gap. So please call now, 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Let's get back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And as we're heading towards the deadline, which is the end of the year, it's so important that you stand with us prayerfully and financially. We've added so many features this year, not only our broadcast, which has expanded around the world, the work that we're doing all around the globe, in terms of missions, the travels, the talks that I've given all over the world. But also we've added daily e-truth. You can now get short videos sent to your inbox as well as written answers to questions. The daily e-truth you can sign up for by simply going to the web at equip.org/e-truth. That's equip.org/e-truth. And you can get the daily e-truth sent to your inbox free of charge, another service to equip you to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you with gentleness and with respect. Do remember that you can give in a safe, secure fashion by giving online at equip.org, by writing me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or talking to one of our resource consultants via the phone, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Please don't postpone or delay. If the Lord leads you, please send a gift on its way to touch the life of another person. That's ultimately what we're talking about. The gospel's free. Someone has to put in the plumbing. God uses means, and we pray that you will be the means towards the transformation of another life. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Travis next. He's listening in North Platte, Nebraska. Hi, Travis.
Hi, Hank. Thanks a lot for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I have a question. I've been trying to understand Romans for a long, long time, and it looks to me like Paul is condemning in the first few chapters. He kind of brings his case against all of mankind. That's what it looks like to me. And I like to keep, just like you say, context, context, context. And I really like what you had to say. You said none of the Bible was written to us, but it was all written for us. I really like that.
Yeah.
but anyway, it appears that Paul is bringing down his condemnation of mankind, and at the culmination of that, in Romans 3, he says, "There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that doeth good." I don't have my Bible in front of me, but he says, "There is none that seeketh after God." But yet, in Acts, he was standing on Mars Hill, and there were the idolaters, and he had told them when he had seen their statue to the unknown God, and he was trying to explain to them who the unknown God is. And he told them that they should seek after. He told them about who the real God was, and that they should seek after Him, though He be not far from any one of us. And then he also said, or the writer of Hebrews also said, that those who come to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek after Him. And that appears to be a contradiction. I don't know I know there are no contradictions in the Bible. I've been studying it for too long, and I was just wondering if you could straighten that out for
sure.
me, please.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the case that Paul makes in Romans chapter 3, it's pretty powerful. He's pointing out, as you correctly note, that no one seeks after God, that we've all turned away, and we have become worthless, as it were, because of our sins. But then he goes on to say, our righteousness from God has been made known. The righteousness from God that comes from our faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. And he points out there's no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. Now, let me argue Paul's basic flow in Romans chapter 1, 2, and 3. First, he's noting that God's eternal power and divine nature are clearly understood through what has been made, so that men are without excuse in Romans chapter 1. And then in Romans chapter 2, he's pointing out that the knowledge of God is written on the canvas of our heart. And in Romans chapter 3, he's making the further case that a righteousness from God is revealed to us ultimately through Jesus Christ. So to alliterate, you have the light of creation, then the light of conscience in Romans chapter 2, finally culminating with the light of Christ in Romans chapter 3. And this is essentially the same thing that Paul is notating in Acts chapter 17, where he's on Mars Hill, he's at the Areopagus, and he's arguing that from one man God made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. He determined the exact times, the exact places that they would live, and he did that so that men might reach out for him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us. So God still makes the point through Paul that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We're altogether worthless. We don't seek naturally after God, but God, the righteous one, desires fellowship with us, and therefore he has given us the light of creation, the light of conscience, and if we respond to that and respond to the wooing of the Holy Spirit, we then may also receive Jesus Christ. And that's the general progression that he's making in terms of his argumentation in Romans 3.
Okay, when he says in Romans 3, and it looks like he is quoting from either Psalm 15 or excuse me, 14 or Psalm 53, and he says, there is none that seeketh after God. Is he talking about all of mankind, or is he talking about a certain specific people group?
No, first of all, there's a prologue to it, and he is saying, what shall we conclude then? Are we any better? Not at all. We have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under sin. So he's certainly making a point here with respect to Jews and Gentiles, but let me say that the general point that all the Scripture makes is that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Jesus, by the way, is just as emphatic in John chapter 3 when he's talking to Nicodemus. He says, light came into darkness, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So the problem from Jesus' perspective is never that there's not enough light, that rather men love darkness rather than light. But can we respond to that light? Absolutely. I mean, we have the wooing of the Holy Spirit, and we either reject or receive the wooing of the Holy Spirit. If we reject it, then we are made, as it were, into ignoble vessels for destruction. Why? Because we are not responding. And if we do respond, then we are made by God into noble vessels for his purposes. And I think this is one of the beautiful things that we find in Scripture, is that God uses means. We can reject those means, or we can bow before those means, receive the wooing of the Holy Spirit, and be transformed.
Okay. I appreciate that answer. Thank you very much.
You got it. Appreciate your call. Back to the phone lines. Ranelle listening in Nashville, Tennessee. Hi.
How you doing, Hank?
Good, thank you.
I didn't talk to you. This is my second time talking to you.
Oh.
and you sent me a pamphlet about divorce and everything.
Yeah.
But I was asking a question about, even though we divorced and she's seeing somebody else, am I sinning because I still want to reconcile with her?
No, not at all. In fact, I think that's the whole essence of what you ought to be doing as a Christian man. You should seek reconciliation until that door is irrevocably closed. And that door may be irrevocably closed because she marries someone else or because she dies. But as long as there's time for reconciliation from the perspective of marriage, we should seek that reconciliation. And even after that, we can seek reconciliation, but on a different level. But that's the whole thing that we're called to. Just as God provides an opportunity for reconciliation for all of us, so too we should have our heart open and provide a door of reconciliation to others. And so I would commend you in seeking towards reconciliation. I would also caution you to remember that it always takes two. Forgiveness is never a one-way street. It takes someone who wants to forgive or reconcile, as the case is with you, but also someone who is wanting to reconcile or be forgiven, as in the case of your ex-wife.
Yeah.
Is she your ex-wife, or is she married someone else already? Is she an ex-wife?
No, she's not. She's an ex-wife because we got divorced, but she's seeing somebody. And I was just wondering.
She's not married to someone else.
Because I still want her back.
Well, I think that you ought to continue working on yourself. You can't change anybody's heart. You can change yourself. Continue growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and pray on bended knee for reconciliation, for a change of heart in your ex-wife, so that you can be reconciled for not only time, but also for eternity. So I commend you in doing that. And I think that those listening in are learning a great example from you in this regard. I think all too often we want to move on. We're looking for the grass that's greener on the other side of the fence. More often than not, it's dead. And we recognize love not in terms of Christian principles, but rather cultural principles. Christian principles say that love is not merely a feeling. Love is a commitment. Feelings ebb and flow, but the commitment never should. And if a marriage is based on mere feelings, it's doomed for failure. If it's founded on commitment, then you have the opportunity to grow through the difficult times. God never puts two identical people together. If you're identical, and none of us are, one of you no doubt is unnecessary. God takes people who have great differences, and it's like sandpaper. As you rub against one another, you're rubbing off the rough edges, and in the process you're being conformed to the image of Christ. Marriage is a great example of the relationship between Christ and the church, and it's used as an example over and over again in Scripture, and we should not in any way minimize the significance of that. Christ and His bride, well, we have the same kind of obligations towards our spouses as well, delineated so beautifully by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 4, 5, and 6. You might want to take an opportunity to read that once again. We're coming up to a station break. We'll be right back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions. As we go to break, I want to mention the Christian Research Journal. When Ronell mentioned an article that I sent, it was from the Christian Research Journal, dealing with cutting-edge issues. If you're not subscribing, change that woeful condition this year. So next year you get a full complement of journals. You can subscribe on the web in a safe, secure fashion at equip.org, or just write us. Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Talk to one of our resource consultants as well, 888-7000 CRI. If you go to equip.org, you'll see that we have a special offer code. It's FALL. And if you use that, you get an addition free plus a reduced price. Check it out on the web.
As we come to the end of 2013, CRI must close a funding gap to end this year on target, which will enable us to move into 2014 ready to equip even more people with God's truth. That's why your gift in support of CRI and the Bible Answer Man today is so important. This is the last week to give your gift to help close our final year-end funding gap. Please visit equip.org. Equip.org. Again, that's equip.org. Don't go away. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. The last few weeks of 2013 are critical for the Christian Research Institute as we must close a funding gap by December 31st to end this year having fully met our obligations, ready and able to move into 2014. If we are to continue contending for the faith and equipping Christians across America, it is vital we close this gap. That's why we're asking for your help today to close this gap so we can continue working at full strength to equip Christians like you on the issues of our day and counter the lies emanating from our culture. So please call right now, 888-7000-CRI to give your gift. 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Your help ensures we can continue being there for the hundreds of thousands of people like you who tune in each month. Thank you. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices. With 2013 quickly winding down, the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast is calling on listeners like you to help close a funding gap by the end of the year. Closing this gap by December 31st is vital if we're to continue being here for the hundreds of thousands of listeners just like you who tune in each month, seeking to be equipped with the clear direction of God's truth. With your gift today, you'll be saying you believe in this ministry, helping those who are being led astray by false teaching. Your support is absolutely vital if we are to end 2013 having closed this gap and ready for the new year. So please call 888-7000-CRI with whatever gift God lays on your heart. That's 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI. Thank you so much for your support. With the year winding down, the Christian Research Institute faces a major funding gap that must be closed by December 31st that directly impacts this broadcast, and it's only through your generous support that it can be fully closed. So please help us continue being there for the hundreds of thousands like you who benefit from the Christian Research Institute each month. This is the last week to give your gift to help close our final year-end funding gap, so call now. 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. And now, let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Earlier on in the broadcast, I mentioned the Cambrian explosion, biology's version of the Big Bang. I wrote about that in my book, The Creation Answer Book, and where in the book I point out that Darwin actually theorized that every organism evolved from a common ancestor as a result of natural selection acting on random variations the evidence points in a completely different direction. In fact, Darwin himself said it best. The distinctiveness of specific forms and their not being blended together by innumerable transitional links is a very obvious difficulty for my theory. And while Darwin predicted hundreds of thousands of transitional forms that would lead to the fossils of the Cambrian explosion, none actually appear. And since Darwin, the problem has only gotten worse. The fossil record has greatly expanded, yet all known animal body plans appear in the form that they possess today. And there are distinguished evolutionary biologists that simply recognize that truth and say that all of the known animal body plans seem to have appeared in the Cambrian radiation. I would say, too, that Darwin's candor is a lot better than the convoluted statements of modern evolutionists. He actually said that if it could be demonstrated that any complex organ existed, which could not have possibly been formed by numerous successive slight modifications, my theory would absolutely break down. And of course, that is precisely what has happened. I've written about the issue of origins in the Creation Answer book. Remember, I call this not just a apologetic issue, it is the apologetic issue. How one views their origins ultimately will determine how they live their life. The Creation Answer book, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Back to the phone lines, Charles, Lincoln, Nebraska, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Charles.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
So my question was, I just finished reading the book Paradise Restored by David Chilton, and it brought me up to speed on something that I've been considering for a long time, which was the issue of eschatology and the theology of dominion and that sort of thing, which I suspect might be true for a long time. I just wanted more biblical evidence for that. Well, one thing that goes along with that is cessationism. And that's something that in the past I believed didn't have much biblical evidence for it, but it certainly seems to jive well with that sort of eschatology. So it's something that I'm considering. So I'm just looking for some biblical evidence for cessationism.
Yeah, well, I don't know that you can prove from the Bible that the supernatural gifts have ceased, but I do think that we can demonstrate that they're not normative. In other words, if you look at Jesus and the disciples, they were ratified through their miracles. In other words, their miracles demonstrated who they were as spokesmen for God and God incarnate himself, who could do the miraculous. The same thing is true with respect to the prophets. The prophets of old were validated because what they said came to pass precisely as prophesied. Therefore, they demonstrated again in spades that they were spokesmen for the Almighty. And that's what we have now. We have an infallible repository for faith and practice. That is the Word of God. We ought to test all things in light of that and hold fast to that which is good. Now, having said all of that, it doesn't mean that God doesn't do miracles in the present. It simply means that miracles in the present aren't the norm. The norm is we all get sick and we all die of our last disease. The death rate is one per person, as has been well said, and we're all going to make it. Sin and sickness is part and parcel of this order of things. We look forward to a new order of things in which there'll be no more death, mourning, crying, or pain. So my advice is, on the basis of Scripture, you don't find that miracles have ceased, but rather that they're none normative. In fact, if they were normative, we wouldn't call them miracles.
Okay, so in the Bible, the people who were involved in these miracles, it was to show that they were anointed by God. Now, what about...
That's primarily the case, yes.
Sure. So what about all these people nowadays who preach all these, like, heresies, and then say, here's evidence of my anointment, there's miracles happening here. How do we address those issues?
Well, I mean, you have to test them again. Reinhard Bonnke, you have so many of these people touting resurrections. Benny Hinn, you find this on TBN. But when you actually do the research, you find something amazing. I've told this story before, but I was having dinner one night at a place called Ferrantelli's with Benny Hinn and the guy that was his chief right-hand man at the time. I think his name was Gene Polino. And while we're having dinner, Benny was talking about a new book coming out, and that book was going to chronicle, detailed document by doctors all of his many, many miracles. And there were thousands upon thousands to choose from. So I just said to him, well, okay, I can't deal with thousands and thousands, but how about sending me your best three documented cases so I can look at them? Well, he finally did. He sent me his three best documented cases. Turns out that all three of them were bogus. The only one we couldn't figure out, by the way, for a time, was there was a carcinogenic tumor that was supposedly healed at one of what he called at the time his miracle invasion rallies. Couldn't find it on the x-ray anymore. Well, we found out when we did the actual medical research, we found out that, yeah, it had disappeared, but it was excised by a doctor, not at his miracle invasion rally. So, you know, even with Benny Hinn, the miracles are conspicuous by their absence. But again, saying that does not mean that I'm saying that God cannot do a miracle. But if he did, it would be in spite of Benny Hinn, not because of him, because he is a person that continuously is communicating heresy.
Well, that's a dinner I would have loved to be a fly on the wall for, but thank you very much for your answer.
You got it. Back to the phone lines. Paul, St. Louis, Missouri, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Paul.
Hi, how are you doing, Hank?
Good, thank you.
Actually, I was listening to, just listening to you, and it kind of changed my question. I hope you don't mind. It's kind of a simple question.
No, whatever.
I've heard of, you know, like there are Christians who struggle with addictions, you know, like drug addiction and whatnot, and some struggle so much to the point they can't get over and they've like committed suicide. And so I was talking to someone and we're saying, is that the unpardonable sin? And I've heard you say before that that's not, and, you know, and I agree with that. My question is, as far as them struggling with that sin, is it possible to be a Christian, to struggle with something, and to be in a cycle, I guess, of defeat? And because I was, you know, reading the scripture that said, like, you know, we can't continue to walk in sin, you know, and say that we know Christ. And so I'm just trying to reconcile, like, how is it possible to struggle with sin in your life and, like, and just continue that cycle of, like, of defeat?
Well, certainly it's possible to struggle with sin. I mean, you look at the great apostle Paul, and he says, I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do, no, the evil I don't want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who does it, but it is sin living in me that does it. And again, as I said on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, that's not a statement that is meant to escape moral responsibility for sin. It's a statement regarding the powerful lure of sin, and certainly Paul struggled with this powerful lure of sin, just as all of us do. But having said that, the antidote ultimately for the powerful lure of sin is living the engrafted life, which is Christ not only died for our sins, we died with Christ. We have been crucified with Christ, and a new life has been engrafted within us, the life of Jesus Christ. But that life is not adhered to through osmosis. It's adhered to because we imitate Christ. It's adhered to because we are attentive to the indwelling Christ. So Paul uses the means of grace, and in the same way, we should use the means of grace that are available to us so that we can live the life of an overcomer.
Okay. I kind of have a spinoff question,
yeah.
And I'm sorry, because I believe that you have addressed it before. I've heard someone say that you can, and I guess to use a looser term, you can get, like, extra, I don't know if you say extra power by using, you know, what the Bible calls a prayer language. And I haven't I've been looking for that because I was saying, okay, well, is there an additional infilling of the Holy Ghost that you get extra power to do that, or how does that work?
Yeah, there are
I've
no.
I've been looking through and I haven't found.
Sure. There are no magic bullets, and those that try to tell you that there are magic bullets are simply deluding you. I mean, I could tell you if you were a golfer, just do what Tiger Woods does. If you were a football player, a quarterback, I could say, just do what Tom Brady does. But you could never do what Tom Brady does or Tiger Woods does in the moment of truth unless you lived the lives that they live. They prepare for their sport like their lives depend on it. And therefore, in the moment of truth, they can perform. Drew Brees is another one. You listen to the guys in his locker room talk about his work ethic, and they tell you the reason he performs the way he does is because of the life that he leads, the football life that he leads in this case. And this is the same thing that happens to us. We will be prepared in the moment of truth only if we live our lives as imitators of Jesus Christ. And that's why Paul exhorts us to imitate him as he imitates Christ. That means that we live the kind of life that Christ does so we can do the kinds of things that Christ did. And we also need to recognize this other aspect, which is not just another aspect, it's the main and the plain thing, and that is we have the life of Christ. We have to recognize that we have the life of Christ. The light bulb is dead and dull if it's disconnected from the current, but when the current is turned on, we are now partakers of the divine nature, and we can become transformational agents in the world.
Okay. All right. Thanks so much, Hank.
Hey, you got it. And with that, we're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered live on air when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. We do also want to remind you of the needs that we have financially. And you know, it's wonderful that God makes us dependent, which is to say that He uses others. This is not a solo activity. The Christian faith never is. It is a communal activity. We take communion as a community of faith. We're baptized into a community of faith. And as a community of faith, we give so that the gospel might go out to the ends of the earth. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org. And when you talk to our resource consultants, they're standing by 888-7000 and the letter CRI. Thanks for giving. Thanks for praying. I appreciate your support. We look forward to a great year next year as we continue with the message of life and truth.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you've been blessed by the broadcast and want more information to help you grow in the grace and knowledge of God, go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To contact a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-274. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The last few weeks of 2013 are critical for the Christian Research Institute as we must close a funding gap by December 31st to end this year having fully met our obligations, ready and able to move into 2014. If we are to continue contending for the faith and equipping Christians across America, it is vital we close this gap. That's why we're asking for your help today to close this gap so we can continue working at full strength to equip Christians like you on the issues of our day and counter the lies emanating from our culture. So please call right now, 888-7000-CRI, to give your gift. 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Your help ensures we can continue being there for the hundreds of thousands of people like you who tune in each month. Thank you. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device
with the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices.